Play Theory last year, and I had to leave because I had I'm on internship in Toronto right now. But yeah, no, they sounded great. Carnelian sounded incredible. And it was a lot of fun. Like we, after the show, we were talking with them and they're great, great people. And yeah, we had a lot of fun.
And like you were saying, people just stayed for all the sets. You know, you sometimes worry that people will just leave after the band they've come to see is done, but people stayed for it and they were really enjoying everything you played, the covers, the originals, they were dancing along at the bar. And like you guys also had a big hand in that because your crowd work was really good yesterday.
Thanks, that guy.
It was a great stage for working a crowd just based on the amount of like platforms, to be honest, that they had in and around the stage. Being able to get very close to the crowd like that is super important, in my opinion, for crowd work. And when I noticed that, I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be my whole set. I'm just going to try to stand on those risers for like every opportunity possible. And then one thing I've learned is crowds don't know what to do. So you kind of have to do something and then they'll do it. So like whether it was waving my arm around or at one point I was like, ah, this is like an Eminem show and like going arm up and down, like people just need to, you know, like monkey see, monkey do. Like they're not going to come up with that on their own.
I mean, you also have the placards.
Yeah, the sign was brilliant.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah, we did that for the last show. It was just like awful. Well, we were like, okay, so a year ago we played a show and there's this like magnificent video of people just clocking in on the lyrics to the bridge and Electric Chair.
A really good part for Monkey See, Monkey Do.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And singing along. And we were like, okay, how do we make sure that this happens every time? I was like, I just write it down. There's no subtitles in real life. So we've just been getting these Bristol boards from Dollarama and like the iconic big Sharpie. And I just like write it on there. And Johnny typically will hold that and people will obviously know what to say. So guaranteed.
And what are you guys working on right now? Because it seems like you're always cooking in the kitchen. There's something just in the works.
Yeah, we just chefed up a new single.
Yeah.
It's mastered, mixed, completely ready to go. Just up to us to decide when we're going to let that.
Very soon.
Yeah, very soon. We're very happy with it. I think people will like it a lot. Didn't play it yesterday. And along with that, we have a bunch of unreleased songs, one of which we did play yesterday, that people seem to like.
Both the left and the right side of the crowd.
I was in the middle, so I think I just went for both. I was like, yay!
Until you just said that, I forgot that happened.
Anyway. I thought you were going to, when you said that, I thought you were going to be like, oh, I think the right side actually liked it better. Or, oh, I think their left side liked it better because they were cheering louder.
I'm not that clever.
Well, if people are just tuning in, we are talking to Chlorine, who were playing at Ales and Amps last night, which was a big, big student night. So how is it for you guys, you know, working on these songs? Because you're all just so spread out right now. You're on internship in different cities. You're at different universities right now.
Okay, so we are at different universities. However, we are all in internships in the same city.
Yeah, we're together for the year. So since May, well, actually, our guitarist, Ryan, has been sort of in and out because he's doing like 4 months of work and then like 4 months because he does Laurier, like 4 months of work, four months of school. But this semester, he's back at work in Toronto. So he's around as well for another 4 months.
Also, not that far, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, you know, they're not like a country away. So, and everyone values this, like the band is, I wouldn't say maybe top, but like top three priority of like cool things going on in our lives. So like people will make it back for shows for sure. But yeah, everyone being together for the time being is just the absolute best boost to our productivity.
Definitely.
Okay. Yeah.
One last thing that we need to ask you guys. You were playing to a Queens crowd. You played your song Drunk Darts Don't Count. Probably the best song. I think that one went down the best of the whole night.
Yeah, how did it feel to play it for a, you know, Queens crowd who probably can appreciate that sentiment?
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing with certain things are just timeless, groupless, you know. And you can take that messaging anywhere, and a bunch of drunk 20-year-olds are going to be like, yeah, that's
drunk bastards are going to be lighting cigarettes.
That's something that they can get behind. Well, thank you so much for coming and chatting with us on this early morning. And you know, if you haven't seen Clarine yet, keep up to date with their social media, check out the shows near you, and yeah, thanks so much, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
That's exactly the song we're going to go out with. So thanks guys for coming in.
I was feeling so down, so I put my hands up, moved my hips to the sound. I was getting too drunk, it was getting too loud, so you told me shut up, put a cig in my mouth. Girl, you're moving so wild, I zoomed out for a second, got lost in your smile, but thank God I'm back, I was out for a while.
Outside, admiring our poster. Evan's waiting on a drink he ordered 20 minutes ago.
there's so much I've done.
Hey, this is Jay from Bedouin Soundclash, and you are listening to CFRC 101.9 FM.
We're joined by Jay Malinowski, singer and guitarist in the acclaimed Canadian reggae band Bedouin Soundclash. Jay, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Hey, thank you for having me.
I'm really excited about this show. You are coming back to Kingston. The reason that you've called us is because you're playing a show on Sunday at the Broom Factory, and it's always great to have you guys back in town, but this show is really special because it's quite different from anything people have seen you guys do before. It's going to be a sit-down acoustic show. I hear the word stripped back thrown around a lot of kind of intimate acoustic stripped back kind of stuff. Tell me a bit about kind of the idea of doing this really stripped back show.
Yeah, well, we've done it. We did it like maybe I can't even remember. It was before the pandemic. So we started doing these acoustic shows, which seemed counterintuitive to the music that we play, which is really, you know, danceable.
Yeah.
But what we found was that it actually allowed us to sort of we could play like smaller places, smaller towns, and just at the time, just me and Eon would roll in and we meet everyone afterwards at the merch table and share stories. So it was really like kind of, it was a way for us to connect on a more intimate level with people who listen to our music, which sometimes we don't get to do when we've got the full tour rolling and it's with, like, you know, all the musicians and lights and everything that goes along with it. So when it comes to this show that we're going to do in Kingston, obviously, first off, we love coming back to Kingston because mm-hmm. where we started as a band at Queens. Mm-hmm. So that brings back a lot of memories. And then as well, just that we get to do this like intimate show, tell some stories about the songs. I do a bit of stand up. and then we get to meet everyone after, you know, usually if anyone wants to talk afterwards, we were able to, and that's kind of nice for us. So, yeah.
And it must be such a like refreshing change for you guys to go from, you know, being the stadium band, the sort of, I mean, you've played really big stages, festival stages, you've even done the Olympics. So, like, you know, to scale it back from that to just playing these really small venues where you can kind of see the whites of people's eyes again.
Yeah. I wouldn't go so far. We're the type of band that seems to be seems to be in every single room all the time. Like, one minute we'll be in a stadium, next we'll be wherever. So we're just, as musicians, happy that we get to do this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you get into that headspace, though? Because obviously you have to prepare for these different kind of shows in different ways, right?
Yeah, every show I feel the same way about. You always want to have that. I mean, we've been doing it for so long that I do approach every show as it's just another show. Mm-hmm. In the sense that whether it's a stadium or whether it's 50 people, whether it's New York City or it's Lethbridge, Alberta, they're all equal in my mind as to what you put out. It's another show that you do. And I mean that in a way that so that one doesn't get special treatment or the other. The other part of it too, though, I always want to have before I go on stage that feeling of like a bit of a flutter, you know, of a bit of nervousness, but also excitement to perform. I think that's like a really important, you can lose it. You know, at first you don't want your nerves when you're first starting out. So the first show I ever did in Kingston, I had, you know, you want to get rid of your nerves, but then after all, you want to have them because it keeps you on your toes and is motivating during the show. I don't know if that answered your question or if I just went on a huge tangent. I'm not sure.
No, I loved hearing about that. But you know, you're talking about playing these smaller cities. I noticed like this leg of the tour has no kind of big Torontos or Montreals.
No.
It's all the smaller towns in there. And then you finish the show in Kingston. So it's sort of the end of the tour and a homecoming for you guys.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling about, you know, coming back to Kingston and sort of finishing it there?
You know, I hadn't thought of it that way. And it's interesting because we are celebrating 20 years of this band this year. Well, we're celebrating the 20th anniversary of our first album.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we got together in 2000 in Kingston. But that is true. You know, I get nostalgic when I go. Kingston was such a great place to start back when we did. Because there was so many, first of all, you have so many kids there that are sort of held captive in Kingston, you know, with like by institutions of all kinds. Mm-hmm. But you know, so when we could play like I remember we would play like four shows in a week sometimes, you know, and they'd all be packed out with kids. I get nostalgic when I think about it when I'm there. Cause there's so many nights where I just remember loading out at 2 a.m. out of like Clark Hall Pub or Queen's mm-hmm. Pub or, and it'd be freezing and taking those amps down the stairs and thinking about, man, maybe one day we'd actually get to do this for a living. And, you know, just like, there's so many dreams we had as 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids playing in Kingston. So I love it.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to you from right next to Clark Hall Pub, incidentally, down here.
Yeah.
At CFRC.
Yeah, we used to play shows. I remember one time we did 11 shows in 14 days. I think we played Clark Hall Pub twice. I remember I had a journal that I'd write out what we were doing. And glad to hear it's still there, obviously. Mm-hmm. So
102 this year, I think.
It's incredible.
But 11 shows in 14 days, that's crazy stress. I mean, I'm sure it's gotten more spaced out since. It's almost like the most stressful shows were the ones right at the beginning.
Well, you know what? What's crazier is that it was 11 shows in 14 days in Kingston.
Yeah.
So we were like, I think we had like some sort of charity event, a Clark Hall Pub show. I think we played at the Queen's Pub.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played like the Scherzo, and then I don't know if that place is still there. There was like, we played AJ's Hangar. I don't think that's there anymore. I think it's called something
else. It's called the Ale House now.
The Ale House, that's right. Anyways, so we played, we just kept getting asked, and we looked at it. I'm like, we're going to play 11 shows in 14 days.
But you're so right. I mean, you talk about like playing shows in and out in Kingston, and you know, shows every day of the week sounds almost like something you would only get in like a city like Toronto. But Kingston totally has something going on every single night.
Yeah. Yeah. No one would attempt to do it in Toronto. No, we would only in Kingston. We loved it. It was so fun though, being, you know, that age and doing this. So yeah.
But coming back to Queens, and your beginnings over here, how did it get started for you guys? And I ask this because, you know, Kingston's not always known for being a very reggae-oriented place. It's it's kind of bluesy, rocky. It's still,
yeah,
it's still,
I agree.
It's still got that, huh? Yeah.
That's what it was when we were there, for sure. Yeah, we were an island of ourselves. But you know what? I was convinced to go to Queens. I was going to go to art school in the States. My parents were like, you should go to... Just go to a liberal arts school for a bit. So I went to Queens, and I met Eon. We were living in Waldron Tower. We both had his room was across from mine in that residence.
It's still there.
It's still there. Yeah. And we both, you know, I was sort of thinking, man, I don't know if I fit in at Queens. You know, I agree with you. There was like a, like, yes, the town itself was very blues rock. And then the, I felt sometimes the school was very Abercrombie and Fitch. I don't know if that exists.
Oh yeah. It's,
and, is that even a brand anymore? And so, you know, I was like, oh, I'm going to transfer out. And then I met Eon and we started playing and I was like, oh, I don't know if I'll stay in this band though. I don't know if this is the band I'd stay in, but we like bonded over reggae music because that's where both our collect, if you took a Venn diagram, that's where our collections connected, you know, like we both love that music, but I came more from the UK side of things in terms of like the Specials and the Clash,
the two tone scene,
the two, exactly. Yeah. Two tone scene. And he didn't know much about that, but he being Guyanese knew all of this stuff that I didn't have in my collection. And that's how it started. So you're right. I mean, it isn't reflective maybe of Kingston itself. However, Kingston was the only place where that where a bubble could exist for a band like ours to be incubated, because what was happening at the time wasn't what we were into. You know, like it was the indie scene was blowing up. And I remember talking to some people from later on, like Justin from Broken Social Scene, being like, you guys just came out of nowhere. And I'm like, yeah, it was because we were in an incubator in Kingston. Like we weren't paying attention to what anyone else was doing, you know, at the time. We just were like, this is the music we loved. This is what we want to create. And we went from there. That's a roundabout way of saying that we did very much benefit from Kingston, although maybe not just like, you know, the scene itself. Yeah.
And I mean, people show up for the shows, whatever the genre is. So at least there's that about Kingston.
They do. And we get a lot of jokes, obviously, at the beginning, not Kingston, not Jamaica. Although anyone who listens, although anyone who listens to reggae music does not think that we're like, we're not a reggae band, but that's what we get.
Yeah, you've definitely got your own sound and it's evolved over the years. And like from my listening anyway, it's sort of over the albums picked up influences of like pop music, of indie music and all those different things. And then for your latest album, 2022, We Will Meet in a Hurricane, you sort of came back to those initial early Bedouin Sound Clash vibes, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Like I agree with you.
So was it a conscious decision to then like go back and kind of explore that sound again?
No, I never do anything consciously like in that. Well, you should say that. I do live my life consciously. It's always intuitive, like where I think that we should, what we should go to. But I think that, and I feel it still now, it's like coming full circle of like all of a sudden you rediscover things you loved in your past. You know, and it, like those things come and go. And so I started listening to records again that I used to listen to at that time and be like, oh yeah, I was like constantly listening to this Sade record at that time or this Finley Quay album. And that's sort of a continuing path, like where we're going kind of, I think coming back to the, definitely the next record will be very three-piece focused, which is where we sort of began.
Okay. Although I can totally see Sade in your record collection. That fits.
Yeah. Lovers Rock was like huge album for us when we were at Queens. Like that we remember like just being obsessed with Sade as I'm sure half the world is. So.
but also last year was 20 years, if we can believe that, of Sounding a Mosaic. So like looking back at that album and kind of, you know, doing the 20-year thing, which a lot of people have kind of got into again, that Zero's music and all of that. How has that been for you guys? Like with the new album, returning to your roots, and then suddenly, you know, the 20-year thing is kind of thrown back at you.
Yeah. You know what? I can't believe it's been 20 years. Sometimes I'm like, it doesn't like, I don't feel like, it's been 20 years, but I look at pictures of myself back then now, like I've been flipping through some old, we're going to start posting some old stuff before this tour we're doing. And it's incredible. How long, like, you know, obviously we look like babies back then. We're just super grateful that we get to still do this. And I don't think anyone would have predicted that we would have. I think when we left, we thought maybe we left, we graduated from Queens. We're like, oh, let's give it a year. Let's see how it goes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now 20 years later.
So there are a lot of bands at Queens right now doing the same thing, just kind of giving it another year, because like a lot of people at Queens come from places other than Queens. So to kind of stick together as a band is like a conscious decision. So do you have any advice for new bands who are coming out right now in those same shoes saying, let's give it a shot, let's give it a year?
Yeah, do it. Do it. And I think as well, always be open to the... Like, I know this sounds like, this is going to sound like a cliche, but life really does happen when you're making other plans. And I think always being open to that, you know, like I said, like I was like, oh, I got to get out of here because I'm not out of Queens. Like, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And meanwhile, I had already started Bedouin and Soundclash, and that was already starting, you know, like that thing was already happening. And I didn't have to do it consciously, you know, it was easy. And I think that's one thing when I think about creativity and where to go where it's easiest. You know, when something becomes complicated, there's a reason for it. And sometimes we can't see that, but I go with that intuition. Mm-hmm. The other thing I would just say is like, if you're in a band, is focus on, I think, like I kind of said before, like we didn't know what was happening around us at the time, like what was popular, what wasn't popular. We just knew what we loved. And I think that, and we focused on who are on our fan base, like what they loved and what we like, you know, together as a community. I think if you can build upon that, you're indestructible, you know, like nothing can, no one can take that away from you. And so focusing on community is a huge thing too.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's coming up next for you guys for Bedouin Soundclash?
Well, we're doing a cross Canada tour in March of our 20th anniversary. We've had to postpone that tour. So that one's happening at the end of March. We're going from Vancouver all the way to Montreal on that. And then just festivals this summer. This is sort of a slow year for us in terms of we're gearing up for a new album in 2026. I'm putting out a solo record this year.
Okay.
So that will be the focus for me. And so I think we're doing some festivals in Europe and across Canada, but nothing crazy for Bedouin, and I will be focusing on a solo record. So yeah.
That's great to hear. And before that, of course, I'll remind our listeners that you guys are going to be here this Sunday. You're going to be playing at the Broom Factory. It's going to be a stripped down acoustic show. It's definitely one not to miss. So people should go check that out. But yeah, Jay, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you. This has been great.
I'm on the rocky road, heading down off the mountain slope, and as my steps echo, echo louder than before, another day is done, say goodbye to the setting sun, see what I found, turn back to the ground, just like before. And hey, 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 beautiful day.
Hey,
hey, beautiful day. Hey, hey, hey,
hey,
beautiful day.
Hey,
hey, beautiful day.
Hey,
hey, hey, hey, hey, beautiful day.
Hey,
hey, beautiful day.
is my song. I'll be home. I'll be
That's
and welcome back to the Indie Wake Up Call. I'm Madison. I'm here with Rue, and we have some more very special guests in the studio. It's been a busy morning for us. We've got Boris and Cam from Casador. Hey guys, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good.
What's up?
Happy to be here on this chilly, windy morning.
Thanks for coming in so early.
Yeah, definitely. But a lot like everyone else. This morning, you're here for a very good reason. We had a few bands that played last night, but your show is coming up. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow night at the Broom Factory, single release show. How are you guys feeling? Hometown show.
Feel good. I think it's basically sold out at this point. Yeah. I haven't checked the tickets, but I think it was like a couple away yesterday, so it probably is today. So it's exciting. I think it'll be like it'll be very high energy, I think. So I'm stoked.
Yeah, and that's always a good feeling. And when's the last time you played in Kingston? September?
We did that show with the Isabel. Oh, was that September? Yeah. When was that?
No, November. November. Which also, that one also did sell out.
That one sold out too. That was like a different vibe a little bit. That was more like sit down, kind of like listening show.
Yeah, it was a very different vibe.
Whereas I think this will be more like rocky.
Yeah, definitely. And Broom Factory is a great venue for that. But yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like having that Isabel show where like you're almost hearing yourself twice with like they've got those big walls that just like echo back at you and everything. I feel like it almost like teaches you something about your own music a little bit.
Yeah, I think you have to be way more like you can't really rely on the crowd like giving you the energy and like you kind of go back and forth and it's more like you're all there for a party, which feeds a certain kind of energy, and that's more like the music. And what you're doing has to drive everything. So it's almost a little more pressure on the performer and a little bit harder to get into. But
yeah, like when you play like a club show, you want to like bring yourself up to the line of things getting out of control. And then you kind of want them to get a little bit out of control. But at a venue like the Isabel, you have to really walk a tight rope and not let it get too out of control.
Especially because everyone's really listening intently because they're sitting down and like the acoustics are good and like, so you want to make sure what you're actually playing. I think you focus more on like having it really sound good because that's what they're looking for versus them like headbanging. And so I think you got to kind of play to the crowd a little bit, which is fun in its own way.
Yeah, definitely.
And how did you find it, like playing that show?
It was good. I was in a kind of bad mood earlier, but the show was fun. I think it was fun. It was fun, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I know at the Isabel show, you brought out some special guests on the stage. Any special guests tomorrow night?
No
special guests this time.
No special guests. We were talking about this earlier, how like every time we play in Kingston, we either play a ton of unreleased songs or have different featured singers or something. And we're thinking like we just play like our own show.
Just spotlight on like you guys this time.
Because like the show we play, you know, 99% of the time is different than the one we do in Kingston, it feels like. So we should probably bring our like actual show to the hometown.
But you do have a new official band member, Thomas. Yeah, so Tom. Tell us about that.
Of course.
Oh, man. Well, he's been playing with us for like a year and he's fantastic. He and Cam are like super complimentary guitar players. Both in like how they approach parts and their sonics. So having him part of the group just makes us sound a lot bigger and tighter. And I think we all feel it just makes us sound more like us.
Yeah, he's been great. He also plays in another band called Okra Jab, which is also playing tomorrow. So yeah, he's a seasoned player and yeah, he's a great addition to us.
Yeah, and so like you said, tomorrow, so Okra Jab as well. So Thomas is doing back to back.
Yeah.
But also Schoolhouse from Ottawa. So yeah, how'd you guys get those guys on the bill? They're a bit more of a folky sound, right?
They're I actually don't Schoolhouse more.
Yeah. I just became aware of them through like the Ontario music scene. We had reached out to them about some shows before and Cam and I went to see them at the Grad Club.
Oh yeah.
A few weeks ago, maybe like end of the year, and thought they were really good. And we were like, yeah, I think that having these guys on the bill would make it a much better night and enjoyable for everyone from like the first minute.
Yeah, I feel like all the bands are good. So yeah, and I think like the vibe, I think, will just kind of keep increasing in intensity. And I think it'll be well balanced and good night with people that we like. So
definitely. And it's no ordinary show. It is your single release show.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us a bit more about the single you've got coming out tomorrow, because we've already heard Golden back in December. But tell us about this new one.
It's called Cut It.
It's like kind of not a jokey song, but it's like really just kind of simple, raw, like kind of British rock, almost like sung in a weird kind of funny accent a little bit. It's like sort of throwaway vocal. Got some play on words. It's short. It's sweet, and it's kind of dancey, like party or like rock dancey. Yeah, I'm excited for it. It's really like it's silly, but it's cool, and I think it's pretty unique. I guess uniquely us, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't think a lot of other bands sound like that. So.
That's perfect for a Broom Factory show. You'll get people dancing along, singing along, and like that's the vibe for it.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, you've been busy in the studio as well. And like, this is not the only song that you have recorded and plan on releasing soon. But yeah, I know that studio time was a little bit different this time around than from recording Youth. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we didn't have a producer in studio. I guess kind of similar to before. We did a lot of it sort of live off the floor, but we wrote a bunch of it in studio and we kind of just went. And Thomas was there too this time for the whole thing, which is great. And yeah, we just kind of went in with the idea of like, we're going to serve each song to the best of how we can serve that song versus try to make it like good for radio or good for someone else, how might want to hear it. But we're just kind of trying to make what we think is the best and not doing it for something else.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. And we went in and recorded the first song in August. So it hasn't been too long. They're all really fresh for us and we're very excited to be playing them live for people and releasing them this quickly.
Yeah, we got the masters like the couple of days before we released Golden, I think. Awesome. Like, we got it, put it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure that we'll feel that excitement tomorrow night at the Broom Factory. We've got Cassador, Okra Jab, and Schoolhouse single release show for Cut It. But you have to wait one more day for that one, so we'll go out with Golden. Thank you so much, guys, for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Speed of the give me something I can hold.
Hello and welcome back to the Indie Wake Up Call with Madison and Rue. And we've had a busy morning this morning.
Yeah, four guests, lots of information about shows that are happening this week. It's a really busy week for shows. Like stuff's happened. There's a show every day going forward this weekend. I think the Getalongs are coming back to Kingston. We've got a show at the Toucan, which both of us are trying to go to, that Color Theory, who also played last night, are going to be playing at. There's the Casador show on Friday. There's Piner on Saturday. There's Bedouin Sound Clash on Sunday. For a city, we're quite rich in music.
Oh, we certainly are. And how lucky are we to have so many different options. But we're just about out of time. I've got a few more songs to play for you today, and then we'll go into Between Friends, which is also me. So keep on listening.
So we're going to continue being on your airwaves. We'll just recap a couple of the songs that we played. We obviously had Casador drop in. We played their song Golden. We had a bit of Bluestones. We're playing an artist who's kind of an artist to watch at the moment in indie pop music. Her name's Victoria Canal. And she's kind of grown up like everywhere. A bit of Portugal, a bit of Spain, a bit of America. And like she's kind of, you know, doing cool pop music. We've got a brand new song from Nova Twins, who are back, who we're going to be playing a little bit of as well. And, you know, we'll just see where the next 8 minutes take us. That's basically it. So what we're saying is we're saying our goodbyes here.
We'll say our goodbyes. We've been holding down the fort without Cindy, but she'll be back next week. But yeah, it's been a great morning, spending time together, spending time with you. And yeah, this has been your Indie Wake Up Call for a Thursday.
So we hope you're wide awake now. Here's a bit of Nova Twins to take us out, this Monsters. We'll see you next week. Goodbye. But I'm afraid of myself. Promise me heaven, but this feels like hell. I can't get sleep, so I just tell myself to get to heaven, so I stay in hell. I can't find peace, sometimes I hate this realm. I used to think that I could be somebody else. If I were a star, I should have waited. Ship crash, irony. I'm not afraid of
take a seat and run without a door. And it might be the fear, probably just a beer. Stumbling, I can't see clear as the cops come and chase us down.
The Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Hi! Follow the Yellow Brick Road each week on Sundays from 8 to 9 p.m. and I've got a show for you. Tune in to get your weekly fix of British music, culture, and lots of fun. I'll see you then.